First of all, how did you get into studying the mind? What led you to into that field of study?
Well, when I was a child, I was fascinated by science fiction, like telepathy, reading minds, telekinesis, moving objects with the mind, recording memories, photographing dreams, exoskeletons controlled by the mind. I was into all of that. However, later I became a physicist, and I realized that all that is bunk, nonsense. You can't read minds. I mean, give me a break. However, now we can, because of advanced physics. We now have brain scans that can actually see thoughts ricocheting like a ping-pong ball right inside your mind. We can actually move objects with your mind. Telepathy, telekinesis, the stuff of The Matrix and Star Trek, we do that now in the laboratory. And so I wrote the book, The Future of the Mind, to tell people that this revolution is huge. It's going to be as big as the Human Genome Project, which revolutionized all of medicine, because we're now going to be able to connect the mind to a computer, and with that, change the world.
We've learned so much about the mind in the last 15 years. What has allowed us to learn so much just within that, you know, last decade and a half?
It's all because of two developments. First of all, advanced physics. We can now shoot radio and other kinds of radiation harmlessly right into the mind, take photograph thoughts as they're being processed. Second of all, computers. We had the physics technology, but we had gibberish coming out of our MRI machines. Now we have advanced computers that can make sense out of the gibberish, and out of that actually display thoughts. For example, photographing a dream. That was once considered preposterous, and now we can do it.
What are some of the things, the applications that that's going to allow us, you think, to be able to do? Photographing dreams, it sounds cool, it sounds neat, but where do you think the applications will be?
Well, just last year at Wake Forest University and also Los Angeles, the first memory was recorded and then played back into the mind of a mouse. Next comes primates. So we're going to be recording the memories of primates and then shooting them back in so they remember what they've forgotten. And the short-term goal is to create a brain pacemaker for Alzheimer's patients so that you push a button and the memory of who are your loved ones, where you live, can be shot right into your brain. And beyond that, who knows, maybe all the courses we flunked in college we'll be able to take again via a memory recorder. And who knows, maybe one day we'll have the vacation that we never experienced.
What are some of the most fascinating things that you've learned about the brain, you know, studying how people's minds work?
Well, one of the things I've learned is that the brain is not a digital computer, okay? It has no Pentium chip, it has no software, there's no Windows for the brain. It's a learning machine. So connecting the brain to a digital computer has been very difficult because they basically have two operating systems. But now with computers, we can do it. We can scan the brain and create a matrix of 30,000 dots representing electrical activity in the brain. Then a computer processes this mass of dots, 30,000 dots, and out of that prints out a picture of what you are looking at. It's not perfect because, of course, an ordinary pixel may have like like a million pixels. Here we have only 30,000. But the very fact that you can actually see pictures of animals, people, trees and forests coming out of your mind is absolutely incredible. And one of the end products of this is to create Brain 2.0. President Barack Obama realized that this could be the next big revolution after the Human Genome Project. So he's allocated hundreds of millions, plus the Europeans have allocated $1 billion to create a map of the brain. The short-term applications are to cure mental illness. We don't know why people go mad. We don't know why people go crazy. However, now we will, because billions of dollars are going to be spent to create a map of the brain. And we think that mental illness, in part, is because of miswiring of the brain.
All right, Michio Kaku, thank you so much for the visit, and enjoy your time here in Bowling Green.
My pleasure.